Hello, everybody. It is May the 13th, 2021. It is 8:30 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. I'm checking in from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Yeah, I said it, Ontario. Somebody else brought that up. I thought it was kind of funny. I do this show from Sunday to Thursday, usually, depending on my workload and my personal load. Today I have time. So today we're going to talk to ourselves. We're going to read the blog. We're going to see what's going on in Ontario, the lockdown capital of North America, where even the golf courses are closed. I think it's the only place in North America where all private and public golf courses are closed, which I think is great. I really think that we need to wake people up, not to the idea that there's a contagious virus, but that there is a communist takeover going on. And if that requires keeping people off the golf course, the people, the movers and shakers, the people that may not be the ones that are benefiting the most from shutting small businesses down, I say all the better. I'd rather they lock the whole place down and just jolt people into being woken up, honestly. And it's been week 70-something of 2 weeks of flatten the curve here in Ontario. Well, I know that most of America is in pretty good shape. But here in Ontario, they are really cracking the whip down. Alberta, Canada as well. I just looked today on one of the telegrams. Now you need proof that you are medically exempt from wearing a face diaper, which is amazing to me. And of course, they control the healthcare system, including all the doctors, so they know no doctor is going to go against the man. And now we're seeing the downside of centralized, socialized medicine, where only one payer, the government, is responsible for paying all these healthcare providers. So this is the downside of centralized, communist, communitarian, anything, that it can really be abused. So now that we're in a dictatorship, you know, in the old days, different doctors did different things to different success, just like any other business. Not everything works in medicine. Not everything requires a drug. So different doctors just did different things. I would say it allowed for innovation, if nothing else. But now, since we're super concentrated into this one way of looking at health, allopathic, one disease, one drug, then it makes a very dangerous situation where there's only one way of looking at things. And that is not going to harness any creativity, or it's certainly not going to incite any kind of innovation into healthcare whatsoever. So we're just going to keep going down the same old tried and true ways of dealing with cancer, diabetes, and all the homeopathic methods are not going to get any funding. So it's going to be very hard to develop these sectors. Obviously, there's always going to be a fringe of people that can't get any satisfaction from the allopathic system, so they'll look outside it to do other things, but you need a critical mass to fund and use these systems to improve them like any other business. If no one's using your product, it can't improve to adapt to the market either. The changing times, the changing diets, changing lifestyles, and they're all changing for the worse. Anyway, so we're looking at the real tyrannical downside of centralized medicine. Yeah, it sounds good that everyone gets taken care of despite their means, but obviously we have the other thing called rationing, where even though we have pretty much unlimited health care for anyone, they'll only do so many procedures per year, and then they have to ration it and prioritize it. So not everyone gets a liver, not everyone gets a set of knees if they need it at the exact time they want it. The market doesn't allow for that. You have to queue up. And now, of course, we've queued up for healthcare. And now we're queuing up for gas. We're queuing up for food. We're queuing up for Walmart. We're queuing up for everywhere. And really, the queuing is just to train people about how the communist system works when they manage an economy, micromanage it in this case, every single thing that's provided by the state, which is going to be everything, can only come so fast. So meat is not going to come down the line at the way you might like it. Gasoline, your travel, everything has to be controlled. It's a central planner's wet dream. And it's not how free people or semi-free people live. But that is your future. For people that don't like the system where you go out and try and make a living, try and do what you want to do, try and make a need or meet a need, you're going to be controlled and you're going to do what the state wants you to do and where they want you to do it. If they need people to pick crops in southwestern Ontario, and if they can't bring people in from Mexico anymore and you're not doing anything in your business or your industry, then you're going to be going down there if you want to get your basic universal income. And you better have your shots, because you're going to need that too to do anything. And that's all part of a centralized, tyrannical, communist, fascistic system. And that's what's coming. It's definitely what's coming. Now let's go to the blog here. I think I'm going to go solo tonight. I'm not going to take calls. I am live streaming, by the way, on fakeologist.com/live. I am also on, I think I'm on darkmatter.radio. I always say that because I'm not confident that I'm there. Let's see. Let's go to darkmatter.radio. Maybe I'm not on there anymore. Dark Matter News, The Wormhole, About Dark Matter. Am I on there? Tim Osmond, where am I? Let's just go scroll through. Let's just search for Fakeologist. Well, Fakeologist is not coming through on the search. Oops. Yeah, it's hard to keep track of Tim and what he's up to. He did leave my server, my Discord server. Oh, Dark Matter is now $5 a month. Okay. So I don't know where, if I'm on there, but I'm on fakeologist.com/live. That's me. I also don't see the John LeBon apostasy show. That used to be here. Pretty sure. What's the wormhole? Okay, I see that's where you record a message. Dark Matter News. Does it say anything about... Oh, that's where you give a tip. Okay. All right, not going to waste too much time. Yeah, Tim, send me a message what's happening with the darkmatter.radio, because I've actually got a few subscribers off your platform, including, I think, Jake, who I talked to last night, who's gofindtheothers.com. Really interesting, really fantastic resource. I'm going through some of his audios in his archives. Really good stuff. He has these things called suicides, which I guess is a name of a drink or a slushy that you put all the flavors in and mix them all up. Normally that doesn't work out too good, actually, if you put every flavor in and mix it up. But he does that with regards to audio clips and a little bit of narration and interviews. And I found a few interesting characters from his past shows. And I asked him on our Discord, which is at fake11.com/Discord, if you want to join. And then just get in there in the verification and we'll verify you. If you want to go in there, so we talked about that. So I left him a message on the Discord about particular clips, and he's so good that he just shot the clips right back at me. So really, really, really interesting. So some interesting musicians, some interesting poets that he linked, and... I did put a few of them, I believe, on fakeotube.com. Yeah, by the way, that is my preferred method of video broadcasting, vlogging, as it were, fakeotube. And I almost don't even feel like broadcasting on the other sites like YouTube. Like, for instance, tonight I'm broadcasting on YouTube. Nobody's looking there. I'm on Facebook. No one looks there. DLive has 3 people. And Twitch has 1, and Twitter has 1. And I'm not quite sure what the head count is over at FacoTube. Let's just see if I can bring it up here. It says it's live now. Let's see if I can figure that one out. So FacoTube has its own chat. And I can't tell how many people are on that chat. Actually should talk to the developer and tell him that. But it has its own chat at FacoTube as well. Looks like there's four people watching on FacoTube. So that's encouraging. So I might shut down. Oh, five people now. Yeah, that's me. I might just shut down the other platforms and just stick to FacoTube. And then if people want to chat, come over here. All right, I've got so much stuff here. It's really outrageous. Here's some of the clips. What did I add today? Jeff Dollar Vigilante. He is absolutely the best video compiler. He has the best handle on COVIDs. Fantastic. I haven't even finished today. He does one a day now, and he has producers and he has a video person, but my God, just fantastic stuff, Jeff. It's just, I put all his stuff on, almost every one, not every single one, but I put most of them on. He is just that good. Look, I favorited his video. Here is a clip, and that's the other great thing. He always puts the clips that he puts in his 1 hour to 1.5 hour video. He normally puts links, and I really appreciate that. He must get a lot of people sending him links, or he's really scouring the internet all the time, every day. But here you go. He put this fantastic video. It's a compilation of the New World Order.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions, or on so global a scale. Nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
I think his task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period, when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't just a crisis.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order, where diverse nations are drawn together in common cause to achieve the universal aspirations of mankind. Peace and security, freedom, and the rule of law.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
All right, so there you go. Sorry, I was just going into the parameters to set the chat. I don't know where. Ophalus is just on the Discord saying he can't find the chat. I know I asked the developer where the chat was on the main screen. I'm going to send him a quick message saying I can't see it. These are minor things, though. But FACOTUBE is my platform, and a very generous donor has paid for the entire year. Thank you so much. So generous. I'm the only one that posts for the most part on FACOTUBE. Uncle Lod has access, but I want to keep it more of a pure service. Obviously, BitChute and YouTube, well, not so much YouTube, but all the others, they have pretty much wide open. And I don't really want to be an editor on FACOTUBE. So I don't want to have to look at every single video and make sure it's up to what I think is the truth. So I just stick to my stuff. And if you want to send me stuff at ima@fakeologist.com, or if you register on FACOTUBE, I think you can, that way you can send a chat there and send a chat there. If you want to recommend FACOTUBE, you can join my Discord server. You can join Fakeologist forums at fake11.com/forums. By the way, let's make sure that works. I have a lot of fake11s, fake11.com/forums. It probably doesn't work. That doesn't work. Well, fakeologist.com/forums2. Okay. fakeologist.com/forums2. That brings you to my forums. So we have a chat there where all you have to do is join. You have to register here and I'll approve you. If you send me a separate email saying that you applied, then I'll approve you. And really, it doesn't get nearly the action that the Discord does, but I own this server, so somebody can also use a great program called Tapatalk on the Android. I think it's on the iPhone, and it really provides a great interface for the Fakeologist forums, which is my platform. So you can do that as well. There's always all kinds of ways to communicate, and let's go to the blog now. Now, I don't always talk about COVIDs all the time. I do like the old-fashioned conspiracies. And one of the things that came up on GoFindTheOthers.com's old podcast, he was talking about Christopher Reeve. And he was saying there was a Super Bowl commercial, and this is back in 2000, if you can imagine that, where they used, he said, some media fakery to present Christopher Reeve in a commercial. And I didn't know what he was talking about because I didn't see this commercial. So I'm going to play it for you now on FACOTUBE. You can still listen to it.
And in the years since the new millennium,
the world has seen such progress.
In 2004, the tide was turned against AIDS.
2 years later, great strides against cancer. And tonight
we celebrate a remarkable breakthrough in spine.
I said in my post, Klaus Schwab presents Superman, because this creep, whoever this actor is, looks sort of like Klaus Schwab, at least being bald.
Cord injuries
made possible by countless researchers and contributors.
And to present this award, we have some very special guests.
In the future, so many amazing things will happen in the world. What amazing things can you make happen?
Now, this is back in the day when people used to watch the Super Bowl and people could care less about the Super Bowl. And the whole idea was that, oh, they did such a great job because, of course, Christopher Reeve was in a horsey accident in 1995, 5 years previous, and now they've got him walking. And actually, if you do look at the video, if you do look at the freeze frame here, go back a bit, it does look like the head was superimposed on a slightly larger body. So, but everyone was marveling at the video fakery because, of course, everyone's told that he is a quadriplegic, so how could he walk? So if you look at this, it does look like they superimposed his head over not quite the same scale body. The head's a little bit too small, but people are still marveling at the ability to do that, which I don't even think in 2000 was a big deal to superimpose another face over some other body. But I said, and I've always believed, and I have a category on my site called the Medical Celebrity Program, where they take a celebrity that's got a big following and put them in a medical situation. And we've seen that. I can think of three right off the top of my head. They put them in these situations to gather attention, sympathy, and basically promote an industry in the medical field to promote research and furthering the cause. And in this case, we have Christopher Reeve, who I think was at the end of his movie career, or they told him, you're at the end of your career. So they wanted him to play a role as a spinal injury patient to further in and around the year 2000. I don't know if many people can remember, that is when the stem cell debate was going on. And I think the idea is, and I'm not totally sure I remember correctly, but they wanted to get stem cells out of dead fetuses or the placenta of a about-to-be-aborted fetus and grab those cells and use them for research to see if they can use these supercells, and I don't even know if it's true what they do, to regenerate spinal tissue, to reconnect the spine in spinal injuries, which is a valiant cause. I don't know if it really works, but that debate, they wanted to move the debate, or they wanted to move the public into allowing that. And I think more than half the public was against any kind of research using aborted fetuses. And I believe there's 10 million aborted, or some people would say murdered, fetuses in the United States every year. So it's a pretty large pool to which to draw from stem cells. So I think that was his main purpose. Now, of course, it's a great cause to try and repair people that have spinal injuries. I don't know what the numbers are of spinal injuries. I'm guessing it's mainly from accidents, car accidents, swimming accidents. Well, not too many people get into equestrian accidents because not too many people have access to a horse. Very expensive proposition, even for recreation. But that's what he was used for. But then, of course, I knew this because I used to be a huge fan of Larry King. And I remember this interview, never thinking twice about it. But you watch it now.
Tonight, exclusive, Christopher Reeve. Living a medical miracle is not enough. Now he's made a difficult journey to the other side of the world for a cause at the center of his life. He'll tell us why. And then, the disappearance of their baby girl wasn't bad enough. They became the suspects, accused of lying to investigators. 4 years later, they're cleared. But Sabrina Eisenberg is still missing.
I don't remember the Eisenberg story, by the way. I don't know if anyone here does, but that might be another psyop. I think that was sort of when they were promoting children being snatched from houses back in 2000. Was that when JonBenet went so-called snatched from her basement? I can't remember, but they did promote these themes and crime hoaxes, and they came in waves, of course. I don't hear anything about children being stolen from houses anymore.
6 years after she vanished from her crib, and tonight her parents, Marlene and Steve Eisenberg, speak out. All next on Larry King Live. Good evening. We begin tonight from Tel Aviv in Israel, where our special guest is Christopher Reeve, actor, director, author, activist, chairman of the Christopher Reeve Paralysis Foundation. Always good to have him with us. What's with the hair, Chris? What's with the no hair?
Yeah, what happened to...
By the way, I was watching this today. I don't know why a piece of his head is missing. I don't know what this video glitch is, but as you can see, this black is superimposed over his head. I was trying to figure out what would make that effect. Now, obviously, it's supposed to be live from Tel Aviv, he's probably in the studio right beside. And again, that the way the head is positioned on this body is sort of over a bit. And I now of course as a fecologist I watch this critically, and I just think this is a tube hooked up to nothing. It's supposed to be a breathing tube, but when you listen to him talk, he's not really struggling. He has a couple ticks that he's incorporated to make it sound like something is going on. I used to know a real live old woman back in the day, and she had the tracheotomy, where she had the steel pipe sticking out of the neck right here. So that was a breathing tube. And it was torture listening to her talk. It really was, because the little tube is gasping for, I remember this so vividly, and you could hardly make out what she was saying, because just like a vacuum, I don't know if you have a vacuum cleaner where if you're using that little attachment to do the stairs, you got to open up the tube just before the brush. Otherwise, you'll short out or vacuum out your vacuum cleaner. So you need to leave a little hole before the main hole. And basically what happens, if this hole is open, you don't get the same suction here. And if someone's talking, if there's a breathing tube here, the air coming out of your mouth is very low. It's very reduced. So it's really hard to understand what people are saying. Now, if you watch Christopher Reeve, now, presumably this is blowing air into his lungs. So that's going to cut off a lot of the volume of air that comes out your mouth. So it's usually hard to talk because you don't have enough air going through your mouth to make words. But if you listen, all you hear is the breathing tube in the background, like a low fan. And he uses his chin or something to click on it. So there's this click tick. It's actually annoying.
But do it. I backed into a lawnmower. I took it off about 3 months ago. It's just too much trouble. So now I've got my Lex Luthor look.
Yeah, and it looks great, by the way. I like the look.
But watching this video, it almost seems like this head is just superimposed over this other element, and it's off by a couple inches to this way. It's almost not superimposed correctly. So I think we might be just looking at a little bit of media fakery right here. Now, of course, the main fakery is he's in the medical celebrity program. So, but overall, this whole thing is off, and I doubt he's in Tel Aviv.
Thank you.
How about a quick update on how you're doing?
I'm doing very well, and it's a real pleasure to be here in Israel. I'm in the middle of a 4.5-day trip to find out about this.
The other thing, again, I don't know why, just like the video up here where he's walking on stage, the head is too small for the body. Now, I don't really remember Superman. I didn't really study the guy too much, and I'm not going to look at it now, but it just seems like the head is a little bit too small for the rest of the body. But just perhaps this superimposition is slightly off. Now, is that deliberate or a mistake? I don't know. But listen to him talk.
Science that's going on over here and the rehabilitation, and it's been truly amazing.
All right, before we talk about that and what they do there, what was the trip over like?
The trip over was very nice. This is the second time I've made a long trip. The first was earlier in the year I went to Australia, which was even further. And it's really been a wonderful experience. The Israeli people have just gone all out to...
Again, look how big this body is. Look how small the head is. And we had the same thing in the last 2 weeks with this ridiculous photo of the Bidens visiting the Carters. And that one was so out of proportion, so off. It was a definite fake. And perhaps it was just another gullibility test, a litmus test to see how stupid the people could be and easily the people could be misled. I don't know.
Make everything comfortable and to make the trip possible.
Now, you flew commercially. Is that difficult for you? How do they handle the chair? How does the plane deal with it?
Well, actually, I sit in a regular seat like everybody else. And fortunately, I'm in good health now. I have been for some time, so that my skin is strong enough, and I can stay in a seat for 10 hours.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Can you travel across the world in this condition? Would it be comfortable? Would you be able to sit in a regular seat? Where would all your equipment go? In the aisle? No. In front of your feet? I doubt it. Okay, maybe in first class where you had some leg room. Really? You flew in a regular seat 10 hours, and then you also went to Australia, which is 16 hours? I don't know.
Klein and enjoy the regular food, and that'd be pretty much a regular passenger. It's really quite something.
Is there any effect if there's turbulence on the plane?
No, not at all. I can take turbulence just like anybody else. And I've always loved flying. I was a pilot for 20 years.
That's right, I forgot. How about security arrangements? Do they have special things that they sort of let you through with all your equipment and stuff?
Well, everything was very carefully checked to make sure that it was compatible with the airplane systems. The ventilator, for example, is very important to make sure that it didn't interfere with the navigational equipment. And
how could a ventilator affect the navigation? Anyway, the story's crazy, so I'm going to leave it now, but there you go. It just occurred to me, like I said, when I was listening to Go FindTheOthers.com, his audio, and then I sent him a message over on the Discord, and I said, you do realize that this is part of the Dead Celebrity program, and Jake is aware of that now. I'm not sure if he was aware of it back then. But there you go. The Dead Celebrity Program. The other dead celebrity, or the other medical celebrity program, of course, is the very famous Michael J. Fox, who is still kicking, apparently, with Parkinson's. Actually, why don't we look that up? Let's just see. Is there anything from Michael J. Fox recently? Because he brought his so-called disability to a TV show or two. Okay, here we go. Here's one from 5 months ago. Let's see how he looks.
Looking forward to this. ABC News exclusive actor Michael J. Fox speaking about his new book, No Time Like the Future. I so admire his optimism.
And you're going to love this book. This is vintage Michael J. Fox. It is funny. It is intimate. It's philosophical. And he opens up about this time that tested him in the last couple of years, that really tested his optimism. He got through it with great spirit. From Family Ties.
Well, how do I look?
It was a good show, by the way.
To Marty McFly.
I need to borrow your hoverboard.
Michael J. Fox.
And of course, the Back to the Future series had tons of 9/11 stuff in it.
Our lives, his entire career.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
By the way, I posted something about a time machine and COVIDs that was really, really good. That was a spoof, of course, but they were saying that COVIDs has found a way to time travel. So I should play that as well.
And now the iconic actor is out with a new memoir, No Time Like the Future.
You know, I hate to tie every bloody fakeologist theme in tonight.
And now the iconic.
But damn. Hold on. What a female look to this guy. Seriously. Look at that. Transvestigation time. I wish Mr. E was around. I know people keep emailing me, is Mr. E, is he around? But I don't see him. He was my favorite transvestigator. I don't know if transvestigations are still a thing. I don't even know if it's a psyop. But we do know clearly that some of the Hollyweird people are very transpicious. We don't know what they are, if there's something in between. But the lack of facial hair, just the soft features. If this person had long hair, it could be a female. Just this particular profile. It's just interesting. And I have a sub-blog called egi.fakeologist.com. And I do have a lot of the Mr. E videos on my server. If you want them, you can just click a link and it will download them all to yours. I haven't put all of them or many of them up on FakoTube, but I do have the videos saved. If you have any and you want to share them with me, just to make sure I have them all, because he had a few channels. He had Transpocalypse Now, Mr. E, Mr. E3000, and Slave New World, but he's disappeared, which sucks, because even if he was wrong, he had an amazing delivery and a great polished video product.
Actor is out with a new memoir, No Time Like the Future, An Optimist Considers Mortality. You may be America's most famous optimist, but when I read this book, which is fantastic, I felt it was like about the testing of an optimist.
Yeah, it was definitely about a crucible that I went through in a really unlikely way.
Fox was diagnosed...
By the way, where is the Twitch?
...with Parkinson's in 1991. His trademark humor and optimism have helped him come to terms with the disease.
Everyone knows I have Parkinson's. I've had it for 20-something, 30 years. I don't know. I just stop counting.
More than half...
Why would he stop counting? 1991, 30 years. What is the normal lifespan of Parkinson's disease? It's definitely a degenerative nervous disorder. Probably caused by chemical poisoning, excessive exposure. Let's just take a look. It's progressive, which means it keeps going. Tremors, stiffness or slowing of movement. Can't be cured. Well, yeah, when you have chemical poisoning, when it's destroyed your nervous system, the myelin sheath, so you're short-circuiting all day long. Tremor, slowed, bradykinesia, rigid muscles, when to see, causes, chemical, here we go again. I love this. The cause of Parkinson's disease is unknown. Here we go again. What else is unknown? Let's see. Diabetes type 1. And that's close to my heart. So another disease where they have no idea, really. So they blame it on genes, which it's just a theory that there are genes at all. Environmental triggers. Exposure to certain toxins or environmental factors may increase the risk of later Parkinson's disease, but the risk is relatively small. Really. Because I have another post on fakeologist.com where I looked up sarin. Why did I look up sarin? Because I ran into someone in my normal course of events. His name was Sarin. So I said, how do you, because I always like to try and use a mnemonic to remember somebody's name. So I said, Sarin, as in the gas? And he said, yeah, he just himself, you know, he's a young guy, he just learned what sarin was. So he at least knew what I was talking about. And sarin, so I went and looked it up, and sarin is one of the deadliest pesticides ever created. And as usual, the best chemists in the world, the Germans at IG Farben, created it. And what are most pesticides? Most pesticides are nerve agents, paralyzing the nervous system and stopping respiration. What else causes the nervous system into put it in a paralysis by removing the myelin sheath, which is like the insulation on a wire, causing the nervous system to short circuit and therefore stop working? What other diseases are there? Well, we just looked up this one, Parkinson's disease, a nervous disorder. Mm-hmm. Well, it says in the brain here, okay, still, I would say the brain's even more sensitive than the nerves that are radiating throughout your body. Okay. The other one, of course, is polio. Polio is the monolith that they created to include 10 or 20 other nervous destructive disorders, which most likely are caused by the chemical industry, which they use to treat our crops so they're not ravaged by insects and other animals. But it does make sense that pesticides, which they use to harvest or protect the crops, they can, not only do they completely wipe out all animal life but we're just a big animal ourselves, and if we eat enough of them, they probably bioaccumulate. They don't probably kill us, but they can probably start to really affect us, causing symptoms like polio and Parkinson's disease. So there, and the cover story is always because many people get it and exhibit symptoms at the same time. You could either say it's something environmental, like pesticides, or you could say it's a virus that is passed on between people. Either way, everything lines up the same way, except the fact, of course, that viruses are profitable because we can create an antidote for them, which they call a quaxine, which, of course, is what we're in the middle of now, the largest quaxination toxic program in the history of the world. That's where do you see how my mind works all day long? It's all over the place. So I think of one thing and then I find another interesting topic. So I look up sarin. Fascinating, by the way. Fascinating how all these, they're mainly organophosphates, organic compounds. And some of the deadliest chemicals ever made, mainly for agriculture, industrialized agriculture. But obviously, if they kill animals and insects and bees so effectively, they're going to somehow probably affect humans. Not all humans, but enough humans to create large, widespread problems, including paralysis, which is what polio was. They created a monolith to include all kinds of different disorders in the body caused by the poison, called it polio, declared it an epidemic because many people were exposed to it. By the way, they had pesticides in clothing at one point. Yeah. Imagine that. DDT sweatshirts. Mm-hmm. But, of course, they'll just say that the cause is unknown. No, the cause is known. But the cause can't be known to the world because it would cause incredible problems, loss of profits, if they actually told people what really caused it, which was them. Going back, risk factors, complications. We're going back to Michael J. Fox, prevention, and doesn't say... They don't say lifespan. Here we go. Seem to skip over that. But we'll have to type that in again. Parkinson lifespan. Let's see what DuckDuckGo has to say about that. Here we go. Parkinson. Oh, now they're saying on average, people with Parkinson's can expect to live almost as long as those that don't have it. Okay. Reduce life expectancy by 1 or 2 years. All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Nothing here. Okay. I thought it was a lot less. But anyway, let's just go back to Michael J. Fox again, see how he is.
Half your life.
More than half my life. But I was diagnosed at 29 and I'm now 59. And I reached kind of a peace with it, kind of a detente. Like, it takes up the space it takes, and it left me room to do other things and thrive and golf and have friendships and travel.
But 2 years ago, another health crisis threatened to leave him paralyzed.
A numbness in my legs and my limbs, and it turned out I had a tumor on my spine.
I remember when you first learned about the tumor and you had to make this decision whether or not to have the surgery. It wasn't really a choice, was it?
They told me that I couldn't reverse any of the neurological damage that had been done, but I could perhaps stop it from progressing. But if I, failing that, it would progress to the point that I'd be paralyzed, get the surgery in. And it's been great. It's been difficult. It's difficult to move. I can't golf like I used to, which is terribly. No, I can't even.
You're always a money player, though. You always hit it well off the first tee.
I don't know who it was who said any jerk can hit the second shot.
Fox began 4 months of intense physical therapy to learn to walk again. The worst seemed behind him. Then he returned early from a family vacation to film a cameo in an upcoming Spike Lee film. What happened next led Fox to question everything.
I spent the night by myself in the apartment. It was the first time since I had the surgery. And I was got careless and was walking in the hallway and kind of slid into the living room, into the kitchen, I should say, and hit a tile and went down. And
well, you might think he has it still. I don't know. He's not doing the same twitching, and the slurring is sporadic. So it's a tough one. There's been other footage from the David Letterman show that was much more obvious. There was one thing that you can't really do, and he did it. I think it's touch your nose, and he did touch his nose. So I still think even though he's older, and obviously if he's a reverso, things are starting to fall apart with the lack of hormones, which maybe is a possible trigger for some other nervous disorders when you're taking reverse hormones. Whatever it is, it's something is wrong. And I'm just throwing out theories, but I still categorize him in the medical celebrity program. And of course, the other one was Magic Johnson. He was the poster boy for AIDS. And let's see what's going on with him. 8 months ago? No, that was from 2003. Let's do a quick search. Magic Johnson from the last... let's go for this year. Anything from the last year? Magic Johnson? He's the guy that allegedly had AIDS. We got anything here? Let's see. Statement from 2020. Let's see how he's looking, because he has AIDS, remember.
Magic Johnson was one of the myriad supporters who celebrated the Los Angeles Dodgers World Series win on Tuesday night. Johnson took to Twitter to make his post-championship statement, while also...
These robotic news reports are just the worst. Let's see. Anything from Magic? But the bottom line is Magic Johnson, of course, looks fantastic, even though he's supposedly taking retroviral drugs to suppress... is so-called AIDS. But this is from way back, so this is way too far back. But I guess that's all we got right now. This is from 2003.
We must have been the two tallest guys in late night.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you something. Because first of all, that suit, you did not get that off the rack, I'm guessing.
No.
You have someone who makes these for you.
Yes.
You are 6 feet...
9.
6'9".
Uh-huh.
That amazes me because I'm used to being fairly tall. I'm about a little over 6'4". If I was in the NBA, I'd be a speedy little guy, wouldn't I? I'd be like one of those little speedy guys.
Exactly. In today's game.
Always talking about everything else but what everyone wants to know.
You would be very short.
Yeah, I'd be a small...
Well, here we go. This might be more. This is last year.
You too. Thank you for being here. You've been booked for a few weeks, and yeah. I really appreciate you keeping the booking and coming tonight.
You know, Kobe wouldn't have wanted me to cancel.
That's right.
I think...
He looks better now than he did in 2003. 17 years later, does he look sick?
You know, Kobe would want us all to carry on and be great in our lives, and we should do something positive, you know, whether it's you know, making sure that we love our family.
Anyway, medical celebrity program. The point is they use celebrities to promote research and promote attention, and quite honestly... It's just to promote the whole disease industry, because it is an industry, especially when they know the causes of most diseases, and most of them are chemical poisoning, and the chemical industry begat the allopathic medical industry, which is used to cover all the side effects, all the effects, rather, of chemical poisoning, and that's what we have today, and now... A lot of people think, and I just read this today on Amanda Vollmer's Telegram group, that almost all health problems today are from leaky gut caused by the pervasive use of glyphosate that is exclusively marketed by Monsanto, which was bought over by the German chemical corporation Bayer. So imagine that. All the autoimmune diseases are most likely covered by one of the most toxic and pervasive chemicals in our food system, glyphosate. And they're not going to stop using glyphosate in our food. And it bioaccumulates over the years and generally causes all kinds of terrible, terrible, chronic, never-ending, always needed to be treated diseases like diabetes and just all just the really sick look at least North Americans have. I don't know if it is banned in Europe, but just in general, North Americans just don't look well. So it's probably not because of the overabundance of food and eating the wrong foods. It could be straight up that they are being slowly poisoned. And their body, when it can't purge the poison, bioaccumulates it and protects it and isolates it in the body in the form of fat, which can develop into tumors, and then they call that cancer. So, yeah, I didn't think I'd be talking about the medical celebrity program, but here you have it. We did it tonight, all because of this post up here, where we were talking about Christopher Reeve, which I didn't think I'd be talking to you tonight about, but that's what happens when you have an interesting guest, and then he has a website, then you look at his stuff, and then you listen to some of his stuff, and then if you're a conspiratorial-minded person like me, you start to dig, and you find these little gems, and then you put 2 + 2 + 2 together, and you get a story that I think is pretty compelling. All right. I was looking for this idea about magic because I thought I'm sure I've posted this before. And this is where Penn and Teller explains how magic tricks are, how they work. And it's basically, he wrote here, in the past 5 years, magic, normally deemed fit only for children and tourists in Las Vegas, has become shockingly respectable in the scientific world. Yes, what we're in now, we're in a science dictatorship, Scientocracy. Even I, not exactly renowned as a public speaker, have been invited to address conferences on neuroscience and perception. I asked a scientist friend, whose identity I must protect, why the sudden interest? He replied that those who fund science research, find magicians sexier than lab rats. And he goes on to describe the 7 methods, magic number 7, the 7 ways to fool the brain. And I thought this was really, really good. I think this is an old article from 2016. So even on their site, the video doesn't work. Good stuff, guys. This is rd.com. I don't know who RD is. Magic is an art as capable of beauty as music, painting, or poetry. But the core of every trick is a cold cognitive experiment in perception. Does the trick fool the audience? Well, this is really, really, really interesting because all these methods of behavioral management, behavioral science, they are rooted in perception management, which is what magic is. So I really think we are all under a spell, and they use at least 7, if not more, tricks. So you should read this article. I know I've linked to it before, but I could never find it on my own website. So now I reposted it, so it's probably there twice, but that's fine. And this was my favorite one, where they can fool you by making the secret a lot more trouble than the trick seems worth. You may be fooled by a trick if it involves more time, money, and practice than you or any other sane onlooker would be willing to invest. My partner Penn and I once produced 500 live cockroaches from the top hat on the desk of a talk show with David Letterman. Now, let me see if I can find that. Now, see, it's got me interested. Let me see if I can find it. Let's see. Penn and, come on, YouTube. No one's watching you anyway. Why are you so slow? Penn and Teller cockroaches. Oh, here we go. How good we are. That's how good we are here, guys. Let's see, which one do we want to watch?
Oh, no, this is a fine show here. critics have called my next guests New Wave Magicians. They are two very talented men who are currently starring in their own off-Broadway.
Zoom fast forward. Fast forward.
See, David, the song is about love and young girls.
Yeah.
About young...
Nice job.
Love and young girls and stuff. Right, and yeah. We want it to be more about flowers and birds and things.
Yeah.
So we've got some categories here. We've got style, execution, clarity of themes, relevance, unity, overall visual beauty, and originality. What did you think of the style? We tell us get a pencil here.
Well, you know, I don't know that much about the style of magicians, but I just, the word lame comes to mind.
Got to fast forward a bit.
Donahue out here, yeah. And he was okay. And oh,
I had to point out that these.
No, come on now, these animals are not being hurt anyway.
All right, that's the cockroach. Okay, so yeah, make the secret a lot more trouble than the trick seems worth. My partner Penn and I once produced 500 live cockroaches from a top hat on the desk of talk show host David Letterman. To prepare this trick took weeks. We hired an entomologist who provided slow-moving, camera-friendly cockroaches, the kind from under your stove, don't hang around for close-ups, and taught us to pick the bugs up without screaming like pre-adolescent girls. Then we built a secret compartment and worked out a devious routine for sneaking the compartment into the hat. More trouble than the trick was worth? To you, probably, but not to magicians. Yeah, so a lot of these constructs, so for instance, if you believe that the two Twin Towers of the World Trade Center were built as a prop to be destroyed, that would fall under Category 2. Make the secret a lot more trouble than the trick seems worth. That's why it is completely unbelievable. And you would never believe... that's how they did it. Anyway, 9:30, so I am out of time. I've done enough blabbing. I didn't get to most of my posts, which is proof that I could probably do a show every single night. Should I do anything on COVIDs one last time? I don't think so. Although COVIDs is always on our minds here in Ontario because we are under severe lockdown. And I'll just say that you can subscribe a million ways to my website. You can donate to my website, fakeologist.com/donate. You can subscribe here. You can send Monero. You can send Bitcoin. You can send Pirate Chain. You send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com. Let me know if you're a listener. You can go to fakeologist.com/contact. You can join my Discord at fake11.com/Discord. I have a couple quick links for polio. Just type fake11.com/polio, clips, ill, sick, leak, CM for contagious myth, Discord, Telegram, Instagram. Just add those very simple words to fake11.com/. And it'll take you to all my links and you can contact me. There's no excuse to not be able to contact me. Call me any time of the day. I'll answer the phone. It'll be recorded and I may use it for broadcast. There are the phone numbers on my website. I'm on the Discord. You just click here to connect. There's no gatekeeping anywhere on this site, so you can just get right in. You can type your email address here to subscribe to the blog through WordPress. I don't get your email address, by the way. If you subscribe, I have no access to it. You can send me an email, and I'll give you a password on Fakeologist so you can comment. Two more quick links, fake11.com/stream1/stream2/radio1/radio2. Just add them all to fake11.com. And I think I'll leave it there for tonight. We didn't take callers. I blabbed for an hour. That's totally enough. The point of this show is to just let you know there's a website. There's tons of interaction. The audio chats have been epic. A lot of them have been interesting. A lot of them have been all about characters and drama. I'm not into the drama, but I don't mind it. I know people like to listen to it. Okay, Ophalus was able to find the chat. That's fine. He said it's a tiny icon on the main stream. I'm going to have to look into that. I don't know where the hell the icon is for chats. Actually, Ophalus, take a screenshot and tell me where the damn icon is for chat, because I don't even know where it is off the top of my head. So if you're still listening, take a screenshot and scratch out where it is, because I can't see it either. I sent the developer a message, but it's obviously not obvious. He's going to have to do better to put a proper icon where it's really easy to find. But right now we have 8 people watching, 3 on YouTube, 3 on DLive, 1 on Twitch, 1 on Twitter, and how many on FakeoTube? Can I figure that out real quick? Because it doesn't come up in my general stats. Let's look on the main page. Let's just see here. FakeoTube. I think I got to go to the main page. And it should show right here. I got 6 people. That's good. So I'll have even more if I disable all the other sites. So there's 6 here. By the way, I have some statistics here. You might be able to see them. I have 13 people listening to yesterday's show on FakeoTube, which is bizarre to me. So there are actually people watching yesterday's show on FakeoTube. And I don't really have a very good video presentation. It's all audio. I do concentrate on audio. I don't put my own camera. I don't have a camera. I don't put my own face on, which wouldn't make it any more interesting. So it is interesting that that many people are watching on FakeoTube, and 400 people have viewed this video. It's fantastic, really. My biggest video is on the SPARS pandemic. It's not even mine. I don't even think it's that interesting, because it's basically saying that we're going to do another bloody pandemic in 3 years, 4 years. And I think they're going to do something better than this one, that is just a ripoff of what we're having going through now. But this other video I've got on here, Defy Tyrants, is minute 40. I think it's fantastic. It's by Matthew Turella, a pastor out of Wisconsin. And he has actually a really good video that I watched, and I really enjoy it. I'm not really a religious person, but this guy does have a bit of a charisma, and he has a really great delivery, and he has good research. And he did something really interesting on Mother's Day. He did a Mother's Day sermon. It was basically a description of anticonception. And I've sort of said this for years, that the first world is committing economic suicide just by the numbers. Because we have been on such a drive to contraception, to abortion, we are committing Harry Caray. They're collapsing the first world just by convincing women not to be women, and definitely not to value child upraising, child raising. And we're seeing the effects of it now. The only way to sustain a Ponzi scheme economic model is to grow it. And the only way they're going to grow it, if they're not doing it natively, is to bring in the third world. And once the third world gets here, they'll displace and replace the existing population with their own values, whatever religion it might be. And then they will follow the Western model, and their populations will collapse. So it is a long-term plan to collapse the entire world population. And it's no coincidence that the World Economic Forum, is down the hall from the Depopulation Committee of the United Nations in Geneva. So there is no doubt they are collapsing the population because they think humans that are carbon, that emit carbon, and they want to get rid of carbon. And that's code for humans. And if you can't see that by now, and now they want to accelerate it with this voluntary biological injection plan where you line up to take an experimental biological injection that has a 97% possibility of reducing the symptoms of the common cold. If you think reducing the symptoms up to 95 out of 100 times and how you would measure the reduction of symptoms is impossible, how would you know if you blew your nose less, if your fever was half a degree less, if your cough was a little less hoarse? It's an impossible measurement. So it's clearly a BS number, but it's a big, high number. So you just see a high percentage and you think high percentage equals success. And it goes to Bill Gates' favorite book, How to Lie with Statistics. So it's enough to convince people with propaganda and repetition to go ahead and take something that at the very least does nothing, at the very worst can kill you. Why take the risk? But people are lining up to do it, and it could be just part of a long-term plan to accelerate the depopulation of the world, which in the ruler's mind, if we rid the world of humans, it can rewild, it can regenerate, and then maybe one day they might rebuild it up again. But probably not, because they've got their compliant economic dictatorship, fascist dictatorship in China that's providing for the entire world. They don't need any industrialization anywhere else in the world. And eventually they'll probably cull China back too. And then there'll just be enough economic activity to sustain a very low number. And in their sick mind, that will be what will save the Earth, or what we know of the Earth. That, to me, is the long-term plan. It sounds crazy, but if you go back in the history books, it's been written about, talked about for over 100 years. And now they finally have the technology to convince you directly, not through ministers, not through the educate, just directly to your phone, that that is what you need done and you're convinced of it. And that's why it has a high probability of working. Unless people spread this podcast. So share this podcast, fakeologist.com, fakeotube.com. And if you want to listen to something live right now, I suggest what I often do is go to kevinjjohnson.com. And I'll pass my audience on to him. So I'll just type in kevinjjohnson.me. And then we'll see where he's broadcasting tonight. He's apparently on Trovo or DLive. So you just click here, play.
That's not store owner. That's not Tim Hortons. That's not McDonald's. That's not Canadian Tire. That's not Home Depot. That's not Costco. That's not anybody.
He's a Canadian. He's from my area. He's in Calgary right now trying to run for mayor. He, for the most part, gets the whole virus theory, germ theory, terrain theory, and he understands what's happening in Canada, and he has a lot of good guests, so I suggest you go to his website, just click play, and listen to him. He does a pretty good show and has a lot of good guests like Chris Sky. Okay, over and out. Fakeologist.com, Fakeotube.com. I may possibly come back over the next 3 days, but otherwise I'll be back on Sunday, hopefully at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. Thanks for joining.